All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. All right, let's rush through the rest of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We stopped last time around verse 8, right? Yes, I spoke at length, talking in different manners about the matter of the words of wisdom, which comes through that spirit, and he said to another, the word of knowledge according to the same spirit. We have been studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in which Paul introduced the matter of spiritual manifestations. I had one Bible those days by J.N. Darby. The word he used was now concerning spiritual manifestations. We said that he's talking about spiritual things, things of the spirit, that there is a way by which the spirit of God manifests in our daily lives, all right? And so we started studying that. And I emphasized something last time that he said in verse 2, he said, now you know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols. However, you were led. That is, there were different, a lot of things that people want to adapt into Christianity is born out of idolatry. And we have to be careful that we correct those things and understand what real Christianity is. So we talked about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and then I think that's where I stopped. And then it said to another, let's go on to verse 9. It said to another, faith by the same spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one spirit, and to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another, prophecy, and to another, distinguishing of spirits or discerning of spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. He said, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, we just need to explain a few things about this. Just, it's essentially a continuation of what we were saying last time. But I'm trying to avoid repeating all the things we have already discussed. So let me just continue as if it's just we're all here. So he said that, now, we've talked about the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Now, let me now talk about the issue of faith by the same spirit. Now, let me say something so that we'll be able to understand this properly. When we use the word faith in the scriptures, if you've been following our radio series in recent times, I've been talking about faith extensively. And when I wrote that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, I introduced in all honesty, some of the things I said in there, I've never heard anybody say. That's actually what put me under pressure to write the book. Some of the concepts were new to even me, all right? It was as I was having understanding, I decided to write. I said the example I've used extensively is the issue of the widow of Zarephath. How come this woman believed a stranger? All right? And I want to explain something there about faith. Right? Using that one. Why, when Paul here says faith by that spirit. Now, bear in mind that Paul is talking about a group of things. He says spiritual manifestations or spiritual gifts. That is, he's not talking here about the everyday life. All right? That somebody lives. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, he's not expecting that the man who has a word of wisdom, all right, is always wise. Did you hear what I said? Now, that is, the wisdom he's talking about here is not the wisdom, the type that God gave to Solomon. There's a world of difference. Now, if somebody can be wise, all right, in the everyday living, everyday lifestyle. But that's not what Paul is talking about. Here, he describes the word of wisdom. That is, somebody suddenly says something, has an understanding to solve a difficult problem that is not inherent within him. Let me say that as a practical example. Now, this is my open opinion. Somebody might differ on this. When Joseph appeared before Pharaoh and suddenly gave him insight into how to solve the impending problem, that was a word of wisdom. Do you understand my point? It doesn't mean Joseph was normally that wise. Now, it impressed Pharaoh. Is that okay? But we know one thing for sure, it was not something that was resident within Joseph. It's different from the kind of manifestation that you saw in the life of Solomon. Now, let me just say something now. There's something I said earlier I'd like to modify. That Solomon was always wise, all right? Because God poured upon him a spirit of wisdom. Do you get my point? It was just constantly in the life of Solomon. But when we're talking about the word of wisdom, it is not something that's always in the person's life, but a time just comes in which is a word, do you get what I'm saying, of wisdom. And the same thing about knowledge. The word of knowledge, I said, you just know things that you don't normally know. For example, I live in a house. I know all the rooms of the house. I know where most things in the house, all right, where they are. But then if you have never been to my house and suddenly God gives you an understanding and tells you what happened in my house yesterday, that's a word. Tomorrow, I can't ask you now that you know what happened in my house yesterday, come and tell me what happened in Chukwubeke's house last week to prove that you really know what you are saying. That's not the thing. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. It's those who do that, who now start searching their inward parts, what they actually operate is the operation of familiar spirits. But by the spiritual manifestations of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is not inherent within the person. You can't just get up and do it when you like. If you read that book by Kenneth Hagin, he gave gifts unto men. It was an analysis of the life of apostles, prophets, and pastors. In that, Kenneth Hagin warned prophets to be careful that they don't just get up and try to just manifest things of the Spirit, that they just have to wait for the Spirit to move as it wills. You see verse 11, it said, the Spirit distributes these things to each one individually as he, that is the Spirit, wills. Now, that's so important for us to grab. Now, so I was explaining that the issue is that this wisdom is not something inherent within the person. The word comes, it's just a word. In the same manner, if you understand that, you will see that the faith follows the same distribution. So when we say faith by the Spirit, in that book I explained something. If you read that, it can be yours. I said that there is faith that is built up in somebody's life so much that the person becomes intellectually sound in himself concerning his faith. What I mean is this. He can explain. You may not be able to grab it, but at least he has a good understanding of why he knows what he knows. I gave an example of Abraham, in which God built the faith of Abraham by training for about 40 years before he tempted him concerning the sacrifice of Isaac. From when God called Isaac to when Isaac was born was 25 years. From when Isaac was born till when he was asked to go out to sacrifice him must have been at least, I know it's more than that, but at least 15 years. Is that okay? So I know it's more than 40 years that God was training Abraham. So by the time Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, he could reason about it. The Paul said that he considered him faithful who had promised. He said, to him the word had gone forth, so will your descendants be. The man was absolutely persuaded that it's sometimes what God manifests as a divine manifestation of the Spirit is not something that somebody else might not have as a natural part of that. No, don't let me say as an everyday part of him. I don't want to say natural. It can be built up. Do you get my point? Let me give you an example. Somebody who has never studied agriculture or grain preservation, all right, maybe like Joseph, just wakes up one morning and has the idea on how to handle problems concerning that area. Okay? That's like a word of wisdom. Do you understand? But afterwards, all the technique he used, all the men working for him, they know it. I don't know what I said. Is this clear there? After that, everything he used, the men after him, they know it. Why? He taught it to them. It came to him by a word of wisdom. But all the technique they use, next thing you see, School of Agriculture, postgraduate diploma in grain preservation, using all the techniques of Joseph, they will be taught to people and the whole society will become wise. Now, I dare to say this, that a lot of things we find in life, that's how God introduces them. Now, a lot of people they have not reasoned enough about how computers work. You'll have known that it's actually a very difficult thing to comprehend. Look, software design to me is the easy one. The real problem is designing the hardware that we now call the personal computer. I still think about it and I wonder where the wisdom came from. Software is not the hard one. Software is the one as smart as far as I'm concerned. But that somebody can make things work the way they do is frightening to me. You get what I'm saying? It's actually frightening. But what happens, I believe, a lot of people may not understand it. I've read enough to know that. Let me just rush through that. I've read enough to understand that scientists work by inspiration. Forget all the noise. It's when somebody has been inspired that the people after them, Do you get what I'm saying? Start learning the things that they got by inspiration. Let me give you a very practical example. Remember Kekule? Physical chemistry. He thought and thought. How did they get the structure of benzene? He slept and he dreamt. That's just it. If you've read many of my books or listened to me teach, I always quote about this man. The man who invented the laser beam. He said it himself that it was an inspiration. He was in a park bench. He was sitting down relaxing when inspiration came to him. And he went into his lab and began to work. Over the next few years, they developed what you and I now call laser beam, which anybody can go to this university, learn in physics, learn in engineering, and make laser machines. The man said he sat down on a park bench. He won the John Templeton Award because of what he wrote concerning how he got inspiration, all right, to do the laser beam. So, that I'm talking about the word. So, I just want to explain something. So, let's get back to the matter of faith. So, faith can be built up just like somebody gets the issue by revelation, like we're talking about scientific discoveries, and people after him now learn it by simple knowledge. In the same manner, faith can be built up. But somebody whose faith has not reached a particular level can have that level of faith imparted to him suddenly by what the Bible calls a manifestation of the Spirit. Do you follow my point? As far as I understand it, that was the thing that would make somebody like the widow of Zarephath believe a stranger. I didn't start to do that time. I'm sure there were crooks going around calling themselves prophets, asking people to give their everything they have, that God will give them breakthrough tomorrow. If you have never given somebody something here, believing for breakthrough next week, you put up your hand. All of you have done it. You have all done it. Most of you didn't get anything. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. Let the devil be ashamed. Most people didn't get nothing. It is not because God doesn't reward things. It's because he will say a lot of things. The Bible says, who is it that says the things that, and it comes to pass when the Lord commanded it not? When God hasn't said we should go and say something, we say it. And at the end of the day, what do we get? Nothing. And then this thing doesn't work. Yes, it doesn't work. Trying to bribe God into breakthrough does not work. So, I believe something like that may have happened during the days of the widow of Zarephath. But she believed the man is a manifestation of faith. I explained something earlier. That God always helps people. God helps people all the time. He does. So when you see three young men stand before a king and stand before a fairy furnace and say, we will not bow, there is something that God is helping them with. And we see the manifestation of that help when he threw them into the fairy furnace, just so that his fourth person was there with them. That guy had been with them all the while. The fire just made him visible. If you bring them out, you won't see him. Put them in the fire, you will see him. Because God has been with them all the while. Now, that's what I'm talking about, faith by the same Spirit. What Paul was explaining to people here is this. Sometimes people do things that are beyond them. All right? Tell him to do it again tomorrow, he can't. Now, let me say, there's another thing I wanted to say about faith, which I should say so that we can grab. Faith is required every time to bring God's power down to the earth. Every time. That's why God doesn't surprise people too much. He likes to talk to them first. Are you getting what I'm saying? He doesn't surprise people too much. He talks to them first. He'll first come and tell you, Hail Mary, full of grace. He didn't mean that thing to be a prayer. It was a greeting. If you're a Catholic, convert it to a prayer, and God be with you. But it was not just a greeting. He just gave, okay. And then, at the end of the day, he said, you are going to conceive. And let me say this again. You know, it's frightening, but I have to say it. There were many people God spoke to like that. And then God finished talking. God left them. He said, this one, he won't hear. There's nothing as annoying on earth as somebody who's stubborn. I've met a few stubborn people. I don't know how people relate with them. If they are coming this way, I go the other way. And that's how God is also. If he tells you something and you stubbornly argue with him, stop talking to you. If Mary has said that this one, this angel, are you sure they don't smoke in heaven? The angel would have just gone away. There's nothing for you. Now, you're getting my point. So the people needed... Now, get the point. The people needed to believe first. So sometimes when people need a faith bigger than them to do something so great, that's when there is a manifestation. God is always present, always ready to help. So just suddenly impart faith by the Spirit, and the mind just believes, is so persuaded and convinced in the face of every other thing. That's what the Bible calls what? Faith through the Spirit. I explained something. It may come out to a level of faith that Abraham too got to by training. Do you get my point? Abraham went through training, and by the time God had worked on his faith for 40 years, the man was able to consciously, without any special help, sacrifice Isaac. Now, what I've said, I hope it has made sense. I hope it's made sense. So that's what it means when he says faith by the Spirit. Now, the interesting thing again you notice is that when he does this, he said, verse 7, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That is, this, it appears, this mind doesn't just, you know, just walk just because you are hungry and you have decided that, God, I want to believe God for my car right now. In fact, you really can't do that because the Spirit gives as he wills. He decides when it's required, and usually when he does it, it's for the good of not just one person, but for many people. Do you get my point? Alright. For example, the widow of Zarephath, I give as an example. I said that woman has fed people in the previous times. You can be sure that when her food did not finish, she was not the only one that was eating the food. Yes, at least we know two people, three people ate it. Herself, her son, and the pastor. There were three of them, we are sure of, at least. And of course, her neighbors will have been visiting her regularly. And madam, good morning. We just pass this message, we'll greet you. Okay, now, thank you. So how everything now, the woman is not they go. He said, can I offer you anything? If you insist, I have not yet insisted. I mean, the woman, she knows. Your guy had bread on the table, put for somebody, the other hand. It's a manifestation of the Spirit that brought it. But everybody's been blessed. Amen? Alright, so that's the point. Now, so let's just go on. So, that, I hope I've explained what I mean by the Spirit. I don't want to talk about that faith alone for the rest of the time. Let's leave that and go to something else. It said, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another, the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy. Let me just talk about the gifts of healing. What I'm about to tell you is what I read from Kenneth Hagin. Over the many years I studied around this, from him I learned a lot of this. Now, the point Kenneth Hagin made, which I want to just repeat to you, that was the best explanation I have for that. He said, gifts of healing. The word gifts is the emphasis here. Now, there's something I was saying earlier. Because of what this was, the way this is, what Paul said here, the manifestation is for the common good. You will find that most of these manifestations are used in ministry. Do you get what I mean by ministry now? That is, it's used to minister to somebody else. It's used to impact the power of God into the life of other people. Usually not just for personal gain. You are getting what I'm saying? It's used to demonstrate the power of God. Most of the time, what you will find... Now, let me say this clearly. Two things. One, it can happen to anybody. Do you follow what I mean? It can happen to what? Anybody. Anybody can experience this. Anybody. Any child of God can have a manifestation of the Spirit in his life. That's one. But secondly, you will find it more frequently in those who their duty, or therefore it makes sense, is to constantly minister to people. Do you follow what I mean? So Kenegi will tell you something, that we're talking about gifts of healings. Now, there are people you call healing ministers. It's as if their main specialty is laying hands on the sick. Now, he will tell you something as an example. That he had noticed over the years that different people tended to have different kinds of gifts. There are people that any time they are ministering, like he will tell you that if you lay hands on people and a sickness has to do with swelling, any swelling, whether it's a tumor, cancer, or benign, doesn't matter. Once it's a swelling, a hernia, anything, that almost 100% of the times people will get well. There's another man, Tim Story. Now, I watched Tim Story once in his video, and he's noticed that his power is most obvious if the thing has to do with skeletal disability, that is, somebody has a broken leg, a crippled leg, whatever it is. Team story, that one. In fact, that day, the man came walking with a stick. His one leg was stiff. Team story looked and said, "This is my specialty." He said, "Everybody say this is his specialty." They said, "This is it." All right, very good. So he took the man's walking stick aside and laid hands on the leg, and the man got healed instantly. I was watching it. He said, "This is my specialty." I've been praying for people. When he just saw that, my eyes said, "This one is my specialty." The guy's name is Tim Story. You may, if you look to bookshops, you might see some of his books. Can I even tell you that essentially his own specialty, you follow what I mean, or swellings. Now, I'm going to give us an example. Now, if I work in Hagen, he said, "Why is it like that?" I said, "I don't know. That if you know, please tell me." That I don't know. That's what I have just observed. But his own explanation, we're using the scripture, the reference scripture is that the Bible talked about gifts of healing. That there are different gifts of healing. Alright? And in fact, there was one particular man, a preacher, Howard Carter, that was his name. He got married at the age of 66. Alright? That was the person I was getting married. And one day somebody met him and the person wanted to be prayed for. The person was sick. And he just said, "Why don't you go and meet..." You married shortly before then. "Why don't you go and meet Sister Carter?" That's his wife. "That since she's around..." "If she's not around, no problem, I'll pray for you. But since she's here, no problem, go and meet her. That you will get well." That woman, and when she tells people that, they get well faster than if he's the one that prays for the people. He doesn't know why it's like that. That's what he had just observed. So he doesn't worry himself. That if he wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you to stay there. He'll pray for you. You'll get it faster than if it was anybody else. But that... You're sick, you want healing. That's my wife over there. Go and meet her. She'll pray for you. You have no problem. You get what I'm saying? So there's a reference to that in people's experiences. So what can I use to explain that is this word gifts. That the Bible talks about the fact that there are gifts of healing. Again, I said this is different from when somebody receives his or her healing simply by faith. You can pray. That's not what we're talking about. That's a different matter. I explained earlier that Paul is talking here about special manifestations. Do you follow my point? Every child of God, you don't need a special anointing to be healed. If you are sick, you pray to God, the healing power of God is available. If you build up your faith to that level, to take hold of God. Is that okay? All right. Now, and to another, the effecting of miracles. What's the difference between miracles and healings? I'll tell you what some people have said, and I'll tell you what I think. Miracles plenty. You know what I mean by plenty? Stand still. You don't have to be healed to stand still. Do you know what I'm saying? And that is a miracle. You get my point? Look, a man who's dead is not going to be healed to get alive. Well, that's a special kind of miracle. If you get one, I'm not going to make. There are things that are just obviously miracles. You can't just carry fish, fill it by a fisherman's net. That's a miracle. That's not healing of fish. You're following what I'm saying? And that's affecting. So I think we now know what miracles are. I mean, take bread, you break it, you give thanks, break it, and out of 5 loaves of 2 fish, you feed thousands of people. That's not healing of bread, my friend. That is what? Effecting of miracles. That's the working of miracles. And then, of course, healings is when it has to do with sicknesses in the bodies of people. Now, some have said that you can also have miracles when it comes to that. That healing can be gradual, but miracles tend to be instantaneous. Look, that's semantics. I don't know. Healing is healing. Amen? Whether you call it miracles or not, but at least you've gotten my picture. All right. Please notice all these things. And then to another prophecy, and to another discerning or distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues. Let me just talk about that prophecy one briefly. Again, let me make reference quickly before I go on. Please, if you want to learn more about these things, we don't have all the time and I don't have all the understanding, I would gladly recommend Kenneth Hagin's materials. He's the only person I have seen that settled down and wrote, in fact, he has a book called Concerning Spiritual Gifts that is just lifted it from Genesis, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The name of the book is what? Concerning Spiritual Gifts. I recommend you get it. You really learn a lot from it, okay? And then he has another one called The Holy Spirit and His Gifts. That one's like a study manual. I believe if you read those books, you'll really learn a lot. So, in fact, a lot of things I will say, a few things might differ because I read something, I may have a different way of explaining it or have a different understanding compared to, for example, what he calls the word of wisdom is not what I call the word of wisdom. You find those slight differences. They're not so significant. You know, I think slightly different about that. But generally speaking, he dealt in about this segment of the scriptures, he dealt with them extensively. And I do recommend that if you want to learn it, please get his materials. This man also wrote about it, Gordon Lindsay. I can't remember the details of what's inside his own book. I'm not even sure I read it, but I think I did. I'm not very sure. All right? A number of people did, but Kenneth Hagin, I didn't see any other material that explained them as much as his own. Two of them concerning spiritual gifts and then the Holy Spirit and his gifts. Is that okay? Now, what is prophecy? Of course, there are different kinds of prophecy, the way I understand it. Now, under the Old Covenant, you will see, in fact, I have a very good reference. When you use prophecy. Prophecy is not always, occasionally, it's about telling what will happen tomorrow. Do you get my point? Alright? In fact, I am persuaded that the law of that is the word of knowledge. To just know that this will happen tomorrow. I think a lot of time that is a word of what? Knowledge. Some will put on that prophecy, but if you go through the scriptures, you'll see that most of the time they use the word prophecy. Alright? That was not exactly what happened. Let's take a few references. Well, let's not waste time. Let me just refer you to it. You'll see that the Bible will tell you about the... Let me give another one. Mary. Alright? When Mary appeared before Elizabeth. Let's read that one. Let's just read them. I think it will help us. It will help us so that you just see what I'm saying. You see, most of the time people talk about people prophesying. They were not foretelling anything. They were not telling what was going to happen. Luke chapter 1. If you go around verse 30, verse 46, okay? Now, before that, Elizabeth spoke. That was around verse 30. If you just go and check around from verse 39, you see the context of what I'm talking about. Now, from verse 46, you see that Mary said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." And all of that, and she spoke and spoke and spoke. I want to read the second one about the one that Elizabeth said also. Yes, that's it. Elizabeth, verse 41. And it came about that when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, get the point. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, okay, who was filled with the Holy Spirit? Elizabeth. She cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed among women are you, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Now, there's something I'm trying to bring up from there. Please try and follow me. That was actually an inspired utterance. That's why the Bible says that she was filled with the Holy Spirit and then she began to speak. Now, if you see, if you read through the book of Acts, you know, people, they said that, look, the only sign of people being filled with the Holy Spirit in the Bible is speaking in other tongues. And I want to tell you, it is not, I'm sorry to say, it may offend a number of people, but it's not true. It's actually not true. There are two things the Bible mentioned. One, sometimes people speak in other tongues and prophesy. They are two different things. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. So, this prophesying, that's what I want to bring out, is what you see here, for example, displayed by Elizabeth. It's just an inspired utterance. You will see it. There's another one. I want to give an example from the Old Testament that we've been reading recently. That's why I just want to give an example. If you see what Balaam said in the book of Numbers, chapter 23, the prophecy of Balaam was not about the future. Do you get my point? There was a place he began to prophesy about tomorrow. But the prophecy of Balaam was most of the time not about the future at all. Okay? If you see, he was just describing by inspiration the nation of Israel. Like from verse 23, he said, "And he took up his discourse and said, 'From Aram Balak has brought me, Moab's king from the mountains of the east,' and said all of that." Then you see him talk about verse 9, "As I see him from the top of the hills, I look at him from the hills. Behold, the people who dwells apart and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, nor number the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the upright, and let my end be like his." Now, he was speaking here. What was he saying? This isn't about tomorrow. He was just describing the situation. And that was a prophecy. I hope you're getting my point. If you read further down through the different writings of Balaam, you see, "Arise, O Balak, and hear. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and will he not do it? And it goes on and on and on and on. He describes in verse 20, behold, I have received a command to bless whom he has blessed, and then I cannot revoke it. He has not observed misfortune in Jacob or iniquity, and he has seen no trouble in Israel. The Lord his God is with him. Now, these are all prophetic words. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you go into the book of Psalms, that's a compilation of prophetic songs. So prophecies are not always about tomorrow, it shall come to pass in the latter days. You know, that can be prophecy. I'm not saying it is not, but it's not always like that. I have given this example. You will hear that Saul mixed with the prophets and the Spirit came upon him and began to prophesy. This is what they call prophecy. All these inspired utterances, okay? Sometimes it can come out very poetic. The person just speaking things, but then they are actually expressly inspired by the Spirit of God. The words may be so, maybe just basic word describing, now it sounds funny, describing the beauty of the weather. Yes. But one thing you will know is that if you are present when that is coming out, each word will hit your heart and you'll be blessed by it. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, that what I've said is just that we should understand that. Now, there's something about describing what's going to come tomorrow. Because if you see later on, the third discourse of Balaam, he actually described what was going to happen. If you see, from around verse, Numbers 24, if you go down to around verse 16, and the oracle of him who hears the word of God, and then he went down from verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come forth from Jacob. Are you getting that? And a scepter shall arise from Israel, and shall crush through the forehead of Moab, and tear down all the sons of Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir, its enemy, also shall be a possession, while Israel performs valiantly. Now, the prophecy here is taking a predictive tone, but still a prophecy. You are getting what I'm going to say. And Paul was saying, let's go back to where we're studying 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul was describing that is a manifestation of the Spirit. And that's what he's calling prophecy. Okay, then next, he talked about verse 10. And to another, the distinguishing or discerning of spirits. Now, let me, again, what I want to tell you here. All right? I'm giving you exactly what Kenneth Hagin taught in his book. Is that okay? That's the one I want to say now about discerning of spirits. Now, he explains. Now, let me say this before I say that. I think Paul really tried here by breaking this thing down into different segments. If you've studied science a bit, or not just science, life generally, other social sciences or pure sciences or anything, sociology, again, if you've set studies, it's very difficult to compartmentalize life. You know, it's very difficult. It's extremely difficult, all right? And that's why I said Paul really tried there when he broke the thing down to different places. For example, Kenegin will tell you that various kinds of tongues coupled with interpretation of tongues is equivalent to prophecy. That it comes about the same thing. You are getting what I mean? That it comes about the same thing. I'm trying to bring out something that is very difficult, actually, to just categorize everything. Sometimes there will be manifestations, and that's what I think we should take away as believers, that there are divine manifestations. Before I go on, let me divert, because I realize I have forgotten this. Now that I'm saying this, I remember it. There's something I wanted to say earlier, but now that I'm remembering, let me please just quickly say it, okay? Now, I was saying something earlier that any believer can experience these things. Amen? Now, there is a problem with Christianity, which I thank God has been helping me to do my best in correcting. What is the problem? There is a mentality very common in Christians, among Christians, which is also advanced, all right, preached by a lot of preachers. And that's to make it appear as if the only people who are doing the work of God are those who are preaching. And whether you agree with me or not, I know it's a matter of fact. It may not be like that with you now because you have been taught differently. And I suspect that I'm part of the people who taught you differently. Okay? But it's very common. And that's why people just think that it's only when a man feels called of God, the calling is always to what? To preaching ministry. Okay? These days I avoid using the word to ministry because everybody, believe me, in the name of Jesus Christ, believe what I'm about to tell you. Every child of God has a calling. Some are deaf, they don't hear it, but they have it all the same. God calls everybody, and it is not, this is my estimate, on the average, it's 1 out of 12 that he calls to preach. Pastor Banko, why did you say that? Just because there's no spiritual reason for that statement, more than the fact that there were 12 tribes in Israel, and one of them, the tribe of Levi. That is the only reason why I have said it. Nothing more spiritual than that. So I just suspect, you follow, that on the average, for every 12 Christians, only one is called to actually preach. But every single one is called to what? Ministry. Everyone is called to ministry. The work of the believer is a ministry. Was it here on Saturday? Yes, I was talking about the fact that even money matters. We should start seeing them as what? A ministry. Therefore, the man that has $1 billion, when you haven't gotten $1 billion, is just more anointed financially than you are. Do you hear what I said? Yes, he has a financial anointing and you haven't got it. If you desire it, it's called covetousness. You will discover it. That's all. No, I'm serious. You know, you have to balance Christianity. You know that it's possible to please God, do everything righteous in life, and you die. You never saw 1 million naira put together. I'm very serious. I know it's not in keeping what a lot of us believe are the gospel of prosperity. But what I have told is what? The truth. The race is not to deceive. One of my students, bright boy, let me tell you, came to see me today in the office. He had a distinction in our last exam. If you understand, distinction is distinguished. In College of Medicine, one will give you distinction. We don't grade students. You either pass or you fail. That's what we do in College of Medicine. Everybody either passes or they fail. You know why? When you get a certificate, there's no first class, there's no second class, upper or lower, or intermediate, there's no third class, there's no pass in College of Medicine. You either pass or you fail. The idea behind the profession is that if you are not good enough, we won't release you. If you are good enough, you are good enough. That's just the way it is. You understand? That's the concept, okay? Now, but occasionally we take subjects and the students are outstanding. So you recognize their outstanding performance by giving them a distinction. It doesn't reflect in their certificate. But it's on record that he had a distinction. All right? Medical exams, real medical exams, start from the third year, what you call second MB. They do 3 subjects. This boy cleaned out 3 distinctions, 3 subjects. Neat. He came to do pathology and pharmacology. He walked into pathology. I recognized him in class. Put distinction in pathology. He has done 5 medical exams. 4 of them, he collected distinctions and pocketed them. He came to my office today. Because of my own way of looking at things in life, I interviewed him a bit. What does your father do? What does your mother do? And I said, why do you think? I just asked him simply, why do you think you are so good? He said, sir, I don't know. He said, the matter of fact is that if it's by labor, I should fail all the time. I read less than most of my classmates. And he said, ask them. It's not as if he's making out. He said, just that I think I have this gift to read, understand, and never forget. He said, when he reads something, it's just hard for him to forget. He said, when is his classmates read that, he tells them, listen. He was telling him that my own subject, histopathology, that he had it ready for this exam because he reasoned about it. I said, there's no angle they want to come from. I won't have an idea of what to write. So let me go to the areas where it appears like I need to work a bit. And when he said it, I understood. And actually, he's my kind of student. What I mean is that I'm not demanding you to remember every knot and nail, everything. I want to see how much you have understood the principle. If I asked him, why didn't you have a distinction in pharmacology? He just smiled. He said, most of the questions were not based on principle. Now, he didn't know this was my idea. He just said, when it is that a lot of the questions were so difficult from that because they were not based on principle. That is, there are things he had to remember A for A, B for B. And he doesn't read like that. Now, but I told him that one of the things I said, you made a statement which will help you in life. And that's the fact that you said, oh God, I don't know what I do, but I think God gave me one ability. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you something about life. You can desire that ability, you can't work for it. That is, there's nothing you can do. The Bible tells them that this exam that Ian and his cousin PlayStation, that they sit on PS2, they play. Boys are reading, they want to die. That is, and he said something to me, just by the way, that he starts relatively early. And once he has read something, ask him in 3 years' time. He may not remember all the fine details, but another statement just to help people. He said, I read to understand. I wanted to give him a scripture. The Bible said, give attention that you may gain understanding. They said, those who the breath of the air came and picked up from their hearts were those who heard and did not understand. I have taught my students this again and again. Please, that's why in my class, it's forbidden in Jesus' name. You don't write when I'm talking. Other places where I give lecture, where I'm not so hard on them, because they don't write when I'm talking. If you write, you don't ask questions. I was giving a lecture in SU this morning, and one of the ladies in the class, he said, "Excuse me, sir." I said, you don't talk in my class, you know, because you're always writing. I said, you didn't hear me. You can't ask me a question when you're not listening to me. But there was something you said about, I said, shut up. You don't know what I said about anything. You were copying, you were not listening. I only take questions from those who obviously were paying attention, but then they didn't grasp something that I'm saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, let me not digress too much. So I told that story because of what that young man said, that I just have this ability, that understanding things. In fact, if you go and read the story of Ben Carson, he would tell one of the things that made him a fantastic surgeon was the gift he discovered he had. It's as if he has such a good control of his hands that even if his eyes are closed, he can do difficult things with his hands and he won't miss them. That is it. He just discovered that he had the ability. How he got there, he doesn't know, but he just finally had the ability. So that makes him a very good brain surgeon, because the brain is not like the hand or the legs or the abdomen, intestine, liver, all these areas. The brain, you don't make mistakes in the brain. If you are looking for one vessel, find it. And if you see, your hand must be cool. They operate with operating microscopes, because the things they are dealing with are so tiny. You need to magnify them. That means your hand can be trembling. He must go very cool. He said he has such a good control of his hands. He doesn't know how he became like that. He just found it that he was like that. Do you follow my point? Now, let me just try and settle on this issue. I said I wanted to say it at the end, but let me just say it now that I remembered it. So, Christians must know everybody, everything is a ministry. Everything is a ministry. So, I use the money as an example. Covetousness is in the air, especially when you come from a background of poverty like most Nigerians have experienced. The covetous spirit helps you a lot. You know what I'm saying? It just follows you around. It ruins your life or you think it's helping you. No, people tend to be less covetous if you come from a background where there's general prosperity. You come from some of these Scandinavian countries, some of these core white European countries. They generally are okay. People there, they don't have too much drive. They commit suicide a lot, but you know what I mean? That is, life sometimes is just purely meaningless. So the man is not really driving for too much because basically things are just going. But when you come from a place where hunger was part of the childhood, oh boy, you rise and say, yeah, I will never be poor again. You know, that kind of prayer. And that is a good prayer if it moves you like Jabez. But sometimes these prayers, they move people like Gehazi. You follow what I'm saying? Now, so because of that, people think that everybody's anointed. Look, listen. I heard the story of a man. He stopped doing business. Why? Because he got tired of making too much money. If he breathes, money. If he makes a mistake, it's money. If he does it deliberately, it becomes even more money. So when they just say, I'm not doing it again, so let me go and do something else that's difficult. I don't know whether I get my point. Why is this one so easy? So he said, all right, okay, I'm not doing it again. He decided to go and be doing charity work. So that one here, there's no money inside. Okay, come and carry a refugee. He'll be there, running up and down. So I think, I don't know the details of the story. Someone just mentioned it and I heard it. That was when I met a man of God who now explained to him the gifts of God and how you use your ministry, all right, to do the work of God. He said, hey, he now returned back to making money. Because now, the making of money now had a purpose. He can now say, okay, when we make money, this is what we want to do. The guy, to him, life was just hopeless because if he's, why everyone run up and down? Meanwhile, if he does like this, it's as if the money just starts running. Say, where are you, sir? We are here. Meanwhile, that people are laboring morning, afternoon, and night. You know, he's not even answering at all. Think the money just plugged their ears. I know they hear you. The guy speaks English, money speaks only Latin, and that's it. They can't communicate. There are people who speak the language that is natural. What I'm going to say is that it's not just effort. This is what I'm making. So a man can be anointed. I use that money as an example. You put in as much effort, but he has greater anointing. Therefore, that's it. $1 billion. Easy. It's not hard. It's just not hard. And the earlier Christians get this point, the longer they will live. Now, that is, in spiritual terms, okay, you have left everything you are doing now on Monday evening to come and listen to me. There's a reason for that. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's spiritual. No, really believe me, it's spiritual. There's a reason why many people make appointments at 8:30 on Mondays and 7:30 on Thursdays to listen to Pastor Banky. There's a reason. There is a reason. Now, that reason, if you were to convert it, you know, take it off and take it to the business world, it has a cash value. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Yes, it does. It does. You now discover that, and I don't know the value, just as an example, right? But the impact the teaching is making, all right, it will make that similar impact, but this time around valued in money, valued in stocks, valued in this, valued in that. Are you getting my point? Now ask yourself a simple question. Is it sensible for a young man who maybe his own impact is in business and is making money, start envying the man who is preaching and everybody is listening? You know, he's upside down. It doesn't make sense. You say, but he's the only one that can preach. Yeah, no, me too. That's the way it is. That's why. In fact, it's just that, you know, other preachers have wives who sing songs and I minister. My own wife, in fact, just leaves me and say, Megan, I'm going to be doing the ministry work. Well, you know, that was like that. If I had a wife that was like my type, in fact, it would be against my religion to discuss money and business matters at home. It will be. And there's a reason. Now, beyond the issue of basic family finance and the reason being that, look, one just has to be careful. Somebody's making $100 million and he's my age. You know, he has never bothered me. And you know, before, it didn't bother me before. But now it's bothering me less. You know why I say it's bothering me less? Now I'll just carry Great Faith Can Be Yours and start reading it. When I start reading it, did he write one? I said, listen, my friend, if you know the spiritual content of this book, it's worth $700 million. So keep quiet. If I use that one to develop business ideas, that is, if God had given that same load of spirit to the man who is a business idea developer, let him sell the company first. You will see $500 million, they will pay him. So are we quarreling? We're not quarreling. I'm preaching the gospel. He's paying the bills. You know, we're working hand in hand. Yeah, are you getting my point? No, I've told all of you, get ready. This one, I'm being nice now. I'm just being nice. A time will come. I'll just phone one of you. Come here. Cosmo FM wants 75 million naira to do this for us. Go and pay them. And that's it. It is paid. I won't say anything beyond that. That one, it is paid. It is paid. Let me tell you another thing to be interesting. Do you think I struggle to preach? Neither will you struggle to give. You see, let's get this thing clear. All this one of give your trouser, give your pata, it is good when you are yet poor. The time will come. That's what I want you to understand. That it's not necessary. You know, just like I can be woken up at any time. Pastor Maki, please share something with us. I remember one day we were in church. We were supposed to conduct a wedding. And the groom had not come because it was environmental sanitation. And the bride too. So one of the pastors in church, Pastor Kanan, just said, what do we do now? I just said, what are all of you doing? Well, why waste time? Everybody sit down. Kanan just sat down quickly. He said, Pastor B does not talk and I don't give something. He sat down quickly. I just pulled out the scripture, read them, Isaiah chapter 49, and downloaded one hot revelation for 15 minutes. Why waste time? I mean, why are we just sitting down doing nothing? Use 15 minutes to transform two lives. That's it. Like they say, it's not struggle, it's in the blood. Are you getting my point? It's where? It's in the blood. In the same manner, it's in the blood for certain people that is, you know, Bible says that you will abound unto all good works. It's good. I said that there are different stages in life. There's a stage in which God feeds you first. You get hungry first and God gives you manna. So if you believe there is he that gives, yes, there's a time the man will have to give his shoes. But the time comes in which there is, what I said, an unbeliever who believes, who tries to persuade us he believes there is no God, the turner, give out $1 billion. What's the reason? He said a man does not need more than $200 million to live well. $200 million. And since he used to have $2 billion and it has increased to $3 billion, what is the deal with the extra billion? So he gave out $100 million over the next 10 years to the United Nations to use to solve children problem and crisis here and there. Are you getting my point? And if somebody who claims he doesn't believe in God can do that, how much more those who believe that their life is a ministry? I hope what I'm saying is making sense. All this one that we're being nice to each other is because is the level. No, listen. The time will come that you need to take permission not to give me $100 million before I let you go. Actually, my emphasis on what? Anointing. That's what I'm emphasizing. That in the same manner that I don't struggle to preach, all right? They also will not struggle to give. That's the point. We take things in seasons. He said, when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Sometimes our problem as Christians and preachers, all of us put together, is that, you know, you see crop that's not ripe. You want to eat it now. Bring it. You should be a generous tree. You eat crop that has not yet permitted. That's the problem we have sometimes as believers. We don't take things in seasons. But please, let me say, lay my emphasis before I leave this matter. So what I'm saying is that if you recognize that it's also a ministry, do you get my point? So you're not envious of anybody. Somebody like can sing like, there's this white woman that I like her voice so much. Though I don't listen to her song much, but I think her voice is very good. Celine Dion, yes. Somebody can sing like Celine Dion. Do you know, in fact, I thank God for singing that. You don't even attempt it if you are like me. You don't even pray about it. Say, Father God, as I minister tomorrow, you know, you can't even pray it. You that cannot even raise a song aloud, in fact. Say, choir, sing me that song. That song, you dare not sing the first line, otherwise church goes scatter. You just say, yes. Yeah, yes, give me the song. I would just want to be in your presence. You know this tone, but you are afraid to. Yeah, are you getting my point? So the choir raises the song, yes, and then you begin, yeah, and then you hear, when they finish, amen, praise God, isn't the Lord good? Then you begin to share revelation. Then choir will sit down. Selling the young will keep quiet. You are getting my point? Yes, Selling the young will keep quiet at that time and let the TDG. I wonder the rated TD Jakes as America's best preacher. I saw the magazine was talking about America's best preacher. And all you need to do is watch TD Jakes. You say you'll give him that score. All you were trying to talk like TD Jakes. Look, they are trying. TD Jakes doesn't try. When he does, it is out of the inside his soul. Not trying to impress anybody listening to him. No, that's TD Jakes for you. That is just inside him. So, sister that sings that Celine Dion, when you are true, you lead the microphone. And the preacher that preaches like TDJ, if it was possible to convert his gift, a man like TDJ, to dollar value, he would be richer than Bill Gates. That's my opinion. But that's not where his own is. His own is in preaching. Are you getting my point? So look, all this envy and jealousy and trying to be like somebody else is, you know, ignorance, lack of understanding. I like what Pablo Picasso said. Somebody quoted it for me, and I like it so much. This thing blesses me thinking about it. I don't know much about Pablo Picasso, but apart from that, he was an artist. They said one day, Pablo, he said he was a real cocky man, just like Muhammad Ali, all right? Like, that's just the kind of person that he was. That a guy said, my mother said to me, if you join the army, maybe one day you become a general. You become a priest, one day you become the pope. He said, I chose to be an artist, and I became Picasso. I hope you get that point. That is, I became a name, an institution for children afterwards to study, go to school and learn cubism, learn collage. You see, where did it start from? See, there was one man called Picasso. So you see, Picasso School of Arts. I became Picasso. I became a reference point. That's just the way it is. And that's where I see my own life. I sit down, and I write my book. I write my book plenty. Even the academic sector, I told people that, look, all this one of research for this, I said, there's what I can do. There's nowhere I have taught. This is, I'm saying with humility, God knows it. It's giving him the glory, acknowledging the grace of God. There's nowhere I have taught, and the students have not liked me. Not one place. I told this boy at SU this morning, I said, I want to resign. I don't have the time to come to the other school. He was begging. Our guy, you can't do this to us, sir. You cannot do this to us. Do you follow my point? I won't exchange it for naira. I won't exchange it for dollar. You get what I'm saying? I will not exchange it for money. It's not possible. No, I'm not joking. Even academically, I have explained things to people and they couldn't help smiling. That is this thing that has been turning our head for days. You just made three statements and it became clear like daylight. It's a gift. It's not struggle. Are you getting what I mean? So, like Picasso became an artist, it wasn't struggle. Every believer has a calling like that. You know, before we thought only preachers had a calling. Now we think, okay, if you can pay for ministry, you also have a calling. There are many people that are not preachers and are not paying for ministry, they also have their own calling. Please, I hope you are getting my point. I forgot to make this point. And one is just as spiritual as the other. God called Moses, no be so. He gave him plan for temple, for the tabernacle from heaven. To build it, what did he say? Speak to the gold, and speak to the iron, and speak to the bronze, and they shall form tabernacle. Now lie. See, there's one man, his name is Bezalel. Inside that one, I have put the spirit of the craftsman. He can make all kinds of artistic designs. And I have given him the ability to pass it across to other people also. You are getting what I'm saying? So Moses received all the revelation on the tabernacle. Build down now, if it. He couldn't build it. He had to come, call, you are the guy, Bezalel. All right, sit down. This is what we want to do. And you know the interesting part? One thing I used to tell my mother, when she wants to quarrel with a tailor, I said, don't bother. The person couldn't see your mind when you were talking. Now, this is what I believe. As Moses will be describing, the Holy Spirit will be giving Bezalel inside him, the picture. Moses is speaking words, but pictures are being drawn in the heart of Bezalel. So when he grabs a lump of gold, it turns to something else. It's a gift. Are you getting my point? And I said, Pastor Mark, what has that got to the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that we are reading? I know what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in the same manner that the preacher can minister with the word of knowledge, the investor can invest with the word of knowledge. The same manner that the preacher can minister with the word of wisdom, the man who's building companies can build with the word of wisdom. What do we do? We just scratch. It's a while praying. Suddenly an idea comes. And he says, this is what we are going to do. And he begins to talk. It's like prophecy. Do you get my point? He said, no, have no fear. All of you will have the ability to do it. We are going to get $3.5 billion. 5 banks in Nigeria are going to syndicate the loan. And he's talking, you know, and they are going to cooperate with 2 from South Africa and 1 from US, 1 from UK. Listen to what's going to happen. By the time we are through, and the guy is talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, they think it's idea. It's not idea, it's prophecy. You get what I'm saying? Yes, it's prophecy. Then when the guy finishes, his wife will say, honey, what were you saying just now? He said, nah, no, Miss Eva, no. I hope you recorded it, Sha. If such things happen, just carry the record, go and paste it on the wall. Thus says the Lord. And it shall come to pass that we shall do business with $3.5 billion of other people's money. And it will happen that this company will never go under. And as it is written on this wall, I have made the vision plain. So that I will be excited to action every morning. 10,000 employees will project over the next 8 years. And it will happen that when governments want to make policies, they will put us into consideration first. Don't keep quiet though. You get to talk up. And there are diversities of manifestations, not only for pastors. That's why I told all the story that I told. Is that okay? And there are diversities of manifestation, King James says. So please, let's get that point clear. So you can, gifts of healing, working of miracles, you can heal a sick company. Let me ask you a question. You think it's ordinary eye that they will change the CEO of a company? Remember Apple? Apple was dead and they brought Steve Jobs back. And they suddenly woke up. It's called the gifts of healing. You get my point. The ability. The other day I was watching Benjamin's Boardroom, and they were interviewing this man. Well, his name I can see his name, but I don't know how to pronounce it, so I don't want to pronounce it. It's Ghosn. He's the CEO of Nissan and Renault at the same time. You think they can't find CEOs all over the world? One man is heading 2 big car companies. You don't think there's a reason? Chicago Bulls. Their coach, the day he resigned, Michael Jordan said, "I know they play again." The Chicago Bulls coach that time, the coach manager in Chicago Bulls, the day he resigned, Michael Jordan took carry paper, you know, before he resigned and came back. When did that man resign? He used to say, I know the play. And they thought he was joking. That's the man left, he left. That was the end of basketball for Michael Jordan. I'm talking about gifts of healings. Have you heard of Chicago Bulls since that time? Have you heard the name Chicago Bulls since that time? You can't be hearing of Boston Celtics, hearing of this, but Chicago Bulls, as far as you are concerned, they are dead. You give another man the basketball team tomorrow, you see gifts of healings will just appear. Believe it though. Why am I saying this whole story? In fact, after I finish this one, I will leave. I want Christians to understand that it's not only pastors that should pray and expect the manifestation of the Spirit. Everybody should pray and expect the manifestation of the Spirit in whatever area their own calling is. You know why a lot of Christian musicians won't do well? You want to hear it? They are looking at Two Face. I'm serious. That's the reason. In fact, not only Christian, a lot of musicians. They look like a Jackson. They look at other people. You don't realize that when you want to look, you look inside. Do you get my point? Out of this belly, he that believes in me, he that believes out of his belly shall flow. It should come from inside, not from outside. out of his belly shall what? Flow. One, look, the day you agree in life that you won't do things like everybody else, you have begun to prosper. Like I tell my wife, I said, in fact, not only my wife, a lot of people, I said, how many places have you been to in your life? Ask yourself that when they do Christian meetings, whether it's teaching, whatever, they don't sing songs and clap and take testimony before they start teaching. Name one. I never saw one before I began this one. I never saw one. I said, no, I'm going to do my own the way. That's why as soon as you come, you somebody prays, pray for this prayer. As soon as they finish praying, I collect my microphone, open your Bibles to John chapter 5. I begin. When I finish, we'll share grace, we'll go. I'm not like anybody else. I became a preacher and I became Pastor Banky. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, that's the point. Some people give a headache. They say, Elizabeth, that brother plays the keyboard. He hasn't come. Why has he not come? Chukubike, can you lead song? No, that this sister has not come today now. Please take the praise worship. This is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has had. I told myself, I don't get that for those kind of headaches. So. If you want to hear song, you go somewhere else. If you are coming here, I want to hear talk. No, that's my. So from the beginning, from day one, ask Deji sitting down there. From the day that Deji will sit down in front of our sunny set and press record when I want to start talking. No, that's it. Oh, when was that? It was Deji will carry battery. From that day, I've not changed the pattern. You say opening prayers. Then I will say the opening prayer at that time. Then Kingsley came, clean his eyes saying the opening prayer. 5 minutes, say the opening prayer. Give me my microphone. Is it tape rolling? Yes. Uh-huh. But no, I know that another, for me, that was my own ministry. I can count the number of messages that we have preached here that is not recorded. I can count it. That is, I don't think they are up to four. And none of them deliberately. I remember one, I forgot to press a particular button. That day, I don't know what happened, whether it was raining or something. Jessica was the one that handled the equipment for me that day. Jessica, can you believe it? So there was a button I forgot because she didn't know much about it. I had to give instruction. Press that, press that. So there was a button I forgot to tell her to press. So the thing was not feeding from the, it was feeding from a microphone which we didn't plug, not from the line in. There was a way it was. So it was feeding from the wrong angle. I remember that day. I remember the day I finished preaching and a computer crashed on me. That was another day. I can count. I don't think I'm more than four. One of them was the day I finished. I didn't like the message. I threw it away. I said, this won't be on record. I don't think they're more than four. I'm talking in over 4 years, though, of which you teach 10 and a half months each year because we normally close December period. For me, that is my own thing. Do you follow what I'm saying? So, Christian musicians, a lot of them, that's the problem. Instead of sitting down home and praying. And I tell people, like, if you are selling something, don't sell what you don't believe in. You don't believe in cigarettes. Why are you selling for Nigeria Tobacco Company? You are getting what I'm saying? Yes. Because you can't market effectively what you are not persuaded is good for people. A good salesman believes in his product. He believes so much in his product that he will infect you with the need for it. You will love it by the time he's through with you. You will love it by force. Because he believes in it. In the same manner you want to sing song, don't sing song that sell. That's the mistake people make. They say, no, you see, if you don't sing about baby, baby, I love you, I love you, I love you, you won't sell. Fine. Idiot, why don't you ask Michael Jackson how many baby baby I love you he used to sell? The guy will sing like Wery, it will sell. What's Wery, madman? I'm bad, I'm bad, I'm mad, I'm stupid, I'm crazy. Everybody will be buying it. It's Michael Jackson. When did Fela ever sing about one woman? Fela was a godless man who degraded women everywhere he went. He did not sell. He said, democracy is demonstration of grace. He sold. No, there's no fast track to this thing. Look, when his son sang Bang Bang Bang, I said, if you know this boy doesn't have talent. Men who are crippled, that's why they sing about sex to sell. What's his name? R. Kelly did it. Marvin Gaye did it. That's what they do. When they are getting broke, Satan will say, come, 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 come. It's called worship of Satan. People think worship of Satan is to go and make a shigidi of one juju man and be bowing and cutting the neck of a cow. No, no nonsense, really. Satan was a come. You know, it's just for sales. It has nothing to do what you want to do. Just for sales. Once you sales like that, just know you are serving Satan. One day they asked Nigeria, how come you make home movies like this? He said, that's what sells. You see,
That is the tail, not the head. Tail does what sells. The head does what, do you get my point? What is inside? And the interesting part is Satan that lies about this and this nonsense. Listen, what you should be thinking of, what will bless people? What do they need? Once you have found out what they need, you tell them this is what you need. Look, there are different kinds of music. You know, there are different kinds of music. There are different, I know, I'm so happy that these days on Nigeria Airwaves, you hardly hear these Americans sing again. Our people don't even get them to buy their CD. When was I doing our music? We started buying it. If somebody had told, you know, you remember Alexo? Where is he? Remember Alexito? Where is he? All those who sang like Americans, where are they? No, where are they? If you want to hear Chiku Chiku, we'll buy Michael Jackson. If you want to hear the original reggae, can you smoke Igbo like a Jamaican? Now, please, you are getting my point. That is, each, look, there is a give. You just sit down and say, God will give you your own revelation. I've been talking about songs. Sing what you really believe. Because, you see, somebody said something to me once. He said, you preach with so much passion. I said, because there's nothing I say I don't believe. You hear when I'm talking. If I tell you, Kenneth Higgins said, you see, I slow down. Are you getting my point? I don't know much about it, but this is what Kenneth Higgins said. And according to what Kenneth Higgins said, you know, the voice slows down in a difference. It's different. But once I drop what Kenneth Higgins says, and you're hearing what Panky say, it's different. In the same way, a lot of people are singing. They're not singing their own song. They are singing Two-Face song. They are singing P-Square song. Mary Mackey and Genesis song. What's the other woman's name? The American CC Winans sang. That's what they are singing. They think they're singing their own song, but in their heart, before them is an image of CC Winans. No, ask yourself, like preachers. You heard of famous preachers that have influenced people. How many preachers have you heard that they say, you know this man, he used to preach like this for that person? None. You know, there's none. None. Kenneth Higgins said he and God virtually had to fight for him to preach the way he preached till he died. You know what he used to do before Kenegi? What he used to do? Yes, open your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 5. And you will hear that the Bible says that Cornelius woke up in the morning and he went to bed at night. In the same manner that was how Saul used to wake up in the morning and go to bed at night. And he used to talk. Now, how did I know? I'll tell you. I read his books and heard him say that for a long time, God used to try to tell him to, that the Spirit of God would tell him, teach. And that he never agreed, that it won't work. Of course, he was a young man. He didn't know what we know. Now, we learned from his experience and everything. It's not as if we are wiser than him, but then all the things he learned, he taught us, so we had a higher level to start from. So he said all the years he tried, then finally one day he said, God, let me prove to you it won't work. So he went and prepared a sermon and taught very slowly and very, he said, I made it as dry as possible, made it as uninteresting as possible, just to prove to the Holy Spirit that it doesn't work. At the end of the day, he made an altar call. He had never seen that number of men come to give their lives to Christ. He said, before I couldn't sleep because the Holy Spirit won't let me sleep, trying to persuade me to teach. He said, now I couldn't sleep because I was repenting. All the days I've wasted trying to preach, you know, what they call preaching. Actually, it's more like an evangelical tune of, you know, ministration, all right, rather than teach. Then later I got one of his, I was reading one of his tapes. And he said that this particular of his messages, though, I preached in that one. That's the only message I heard in which he claimed he preached with this kind of evangelistic tone. And one day, I read the book written from that message. The book was very dry. I won't tell you in case it didn't feel dry to you. Then number two, finally I got the tape one day. After I heard him preach for like 10 minutes, I shut it down. I said, no wonder God said stop preaching. I said, no wonder the good Lord said stop. If he had kept that thing up, we would never have bothered with him. But he taught very slowly, methodically, wrote scores of books, became an internationally recognized teacher of the gospel and a credible prophet. Everybody loved him till he died. So this one, he too said, it's lie, it's Satan lying to people. The thing that we sell in your life, you have not yet produced it. I know what I'm saying. Anything you want to do, make sure it's the one that comes out of your bowels. Even though they haven't heard it before. When they hear it, you see, what sells is not the sound. Oh God, I wish people would understand. There is a spirit that is carried by the sound. People who like it don't even know what they like, and they just know they like it. That is why one man will produce his music today, everybody will be in love. The next guy who copies him, nobody buys. Use the same voice, right? Same similar lyrics. Nobody don't even know what he's doing there. What is that one? Why is he shouting so much? You know, I've heard people, you know, T.D. Jakes, no, as a person, I don't like shouting preachers. Now, what I want to tell you, this man, you know, once you start, gosh, my soul goes to sleep. Like, what is wrong with this fellow? The first day I heard T.D. Jakes, as God is my witness, a friend of mine said, Banky, you should hear this message. And I saw the fattest human being I've ever seen, kind of a microphone. Oh, God, the guy was looking horrible. And then he started with a thick voice there. All right. I'm looking. What's wrong with this fellow? 5 minutes into his message, I was not on earth anymore. When the man was through, I didn't blame the people who were going crazy in the audience, because me too, I was going mad where I was. He was sweating. That is, with his fat earthly tabernacle, he was sweating. I still remember one white man there. The man ran here, ran there, spun around, removed his jacket, flung it one direction. The guy just went crazy until TJ delivered him by laying hands on him. He fell on the floor. After that, I was an instant convert. Instantly. Before that, I couldn't listen to the shouting preacher. After that, I was instantly converted. After that, instantly. I thought the first time I listened to Pastor Boyd, the first time I listened to him, you know what I walked into my mind? I said, oh, these boys have gathered here to do ministry. I still remember very well. Because looking young, I mean, yeah, and I then, in my opinion, are you sure this man is older than me? Are you sure he's older than me? I'm talking 1997. 11 years ago. I said, this guy. And he was not wearing a shirt and a tie. He didn't even wear a suit to look like a preacher. I was laughing inside myself. I just sat down and I said, I don't come here today anyway. Nobody sent me. I'm missing myself. Then he came up to talk. I still remember. We have been speaking about this subject of the new creation in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says, we shall change our vile body. And he was talking, One of us said, about this righteousness and the new creation in Christ Jesus, he said, and the fact that there is a seed that God has placed inside him. And as he was talking, you know what I told myself? I said, all this kind of revelation. We heard it on campus too now. W. Kenya and Kenny Higgin. That was in the first 1 minute. After 3 minutes, I remember when he switched to a particular subject, and we said that each seed, the seed is given according to the type of body, all right? The body reflects the kind of seed that a man has, a God seed. And he was just talking. Man, forget that. I never heard that one before. Then the guy went on in talking about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. After that, I tapped with one guy in front of me. I said, please. Okay, I was trying to write. Oh, God, the discharge was too fast for any human hand to put down. So I asked the guy in front of me, excuse me, sir. Are they recording this? He said, yes. So I threw my Bible on the floor, threw my paper on the floor, and I held my pen to restrain myself. I almost broke it. I was trembling on the seat. This was a boy look at these boys. You are getting what I'm saying? Listen, he didn't look marketable, that is physically. He was not marketable as a priest. He didn't even have a suit. For information, I'm sure he didn't have. It's not that he didn't wear. I'm sure he didn't have. Now, I'm sure he didn't have. I have my reasons for being sure. I'm sure that time he did not have. Man, at the end of 2 hours, I wanted to beg him, so God, please now, stop now. I'm going to drown. Finally, he ended the message. I said, yay. I went and met him. I said, thank you very much, sir. God bless you, sir. Thank you very much, sir. No, that is, at the beginning, I looked at him. I was like, oh, these boys, what are they doing here? Man, after that day, instant convert. I went home. One of my friends had some of his tapes. I collected them. Anytime he entered the room, he would hear me playing the message. I remember what he said, hey, this one I love at first hear. What am I trying to say all of this is, listen, what really in quotes sells, in quotes, you know what I mean now, sells, is that one that really comes from where? From inside. Let me summarize. I've tried to explain the fact that, look, this spiritual manifestation, whether it is prophecy, interpretation of tongues, diverse kind of tongues, gifts of healings, working of miracles, anything, is not only with preachers. It's with every individual that God has called. Because he said that the Spirit distributes it as he wills. And not only in church, that is like, even here now, we are teaching, and something is going on. No. I like one story Kenneth Hagin told. So one day, just felt he was in his office, and his hand suddenly started paining him. Seriously. Ah, he looked at the hand. There was nothing wrong with it. The hand was paining him intensely. He looked at the hand. There was nothing wrong with it. Ah, and he was in the office. He was working. So just look at the secretary. Say, wait, come. Do you have a pain in your hands? The woman said yes, that she was diagnosed having rheumatoid arthritis. Hey, the guy said, hey, okay, no wonder. Go, that's it, you are healed. And that's it, the woman got instantly healed. That the pain he was feeling, all right, was actually her pain. So he looked like there was nothing, but the hand was paining him seriously. So just clicked, and he asked her, come, do you have pains in your hands? And the woman said yes, told him the story. He said, that's it. He didn't pray nothing. Just said, okay, that's it, you are well, you are healed. And that's it, she was healed. It's not as the one where God has said, let us worship the Lord. Let us enter into his presence with praise. Oh, hallelujah. We just worship the Lord. Listen. Listen. If it is like that, God will not go offices. But believe me, God is in your office. Did I hear an amen? No. Let me end my teaching this morning with one word. Expect a miracle. Did I hear amen? What did I say? Expect a miracle. Let me give you a short testimony. I just remember something now. A testimony. One day I sat in my office. When I finish with testimony, you to make you laugh. Is that what you call a testimony? But you see what I'm saying. One day I sat in my office. There's this book I had. I just opened and began to read. And certain concepts that I didn't know before, even as a pathologist, it was inside the book. The book is mine. So I was reading and okay. I just understood it properly and I closed and I left. And I went into a lecture hall. And there's a way I teach. And I thought for about maybe an hour and a half or so. And at the end of the day, before I left the class, I said, any questions? And one student got up and asked me the same thing that I just finished finally understanding in my life. A medical student just asked me in class. And I just turned to the board, picked my chalk then. Just picked the chalk, drew one fantastic illustration, explained, and said, I hope it is clear. He said, yes, sir. I left the place and said, my God, this guy is too hot. Yeah! All of them, I saw them say, this is our new lecturer. He's too hot! They didn't understand. That before I arrived, Holy Spirit said, Banky, let me put small glory on you. Open, read. Do you get my point? Listen, one day they are going to call you to submit a proposal to solve a problem. Without any notification, you will walk in there, it will turn out to be the thing you were reading yesterday on the internet. And when you start giving information, they say, can we find a man as wise and discreet as thou art, seeing that and of a truth indeed dwells the spirit of the gods? That's why I said, expect a miracle. Look, as in my job as an academic, as a teacher, I have witnessed things like that. I remember one day I finished a lecture and a student asked me a simple question. He said, sir, what does this expression mean? And I always tell students, make sure every word you use, you know the meaning. That day, I didn't know the meaning of the word I used. I still remember it very well. And as soon as he finished asking, a detailed explanation came to my head. And I recited it for him. And he nodded and said, thank you very much, sir. And I say in my mind, I say, Father, you're always on time. Thank you very much. No. I'm in a very honest lecture. Ask myself. If there's a question, say, is that so? Sorry, I don't know. I'll find out. Next class, I'll tell you. No, the first day I came to Enugu, my God, the Jesus Christ, this is our new lecturer. Oh, the guy is too intelligent. They don't know this is our new lecturer. He's simply anointed. That is the fact. At the end of the year, they say, vote for the best lecturer and giving the best understood lectures. All of them voted for me. I didn't campaign. I didn't even know they were doing it. One day, they just called me that I just saw a letter that I should come for the swearing-in ceremony that I'm going to receive an award as having given the best understood lectures in pathology and pharmacology. I have told that story to tell you what? Expect a miracle. What did I say? expect a miracle. The diversities of manifestation is for everyone, not only preachers. I hope you've learned something. Let us pray.